This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Welcome to AppForce episode 89. My name is Jeroen Leenerts and I've been developing software for over 20 years, developing iOS apps for over 10 years, and I'm running the Dutch Cocoaheads for over 9 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about PSA. iOS 16 is a huge opportunity to promote your app. Lock screen widgets in SwiftUI. Building widgets for iOS applications with WidgetKit and SwiftUI. A beginner's guide to navigation split view in SwiftUI for iOS 16. Custom metrics with MetricKit. How to capitalize the first letter in Swift. Extension kit and XPC. Sharing cross-platform code in SwiftUI apps. I prepare my podcast episodes by scripting things out nowadays. It helps me collect my thoughts and make sure I do a better job when I record. A better job recording results in lots less editing, which makes me a much happier podcaster. Audio editing is an enjoyable process, but it can take loads of time. The process is simple. I first make a selection of links from my list of unread articles in Feedly. The first selection passes into a second round of review, and then I select anywhere between 5 to 10 articles for inclusion into my podcast. The articles making the second cut, I all open up in my web browser and to use this handy extension that allows me to copy each open tab's link as markdown. The resulting markdown I paste into my episode's note and I start reading, taking notes as I go. I often copy paste parts of an article's introduction for inclusion in my script. I discovered that spending more time in my episode note preparation saves me heaps of time. This week, I also gave my talk at 360 IDEF. In fact, this episode was prepared, recorded and edited all from my hotel room using my laptop and a very portable DJI mic. The talk I did was titled Building a Vapor Swift Backend Integration with Authentication and Authorization. The abstract of the talk was, when integrating with many online services, there's often a bit of server-side glue you need to create yourself. Stream's chat service is no different. In this talk, Jeroen will focus on what you need to create to authenticate and authorize backends that integrate with a service provider. It doesn't matter which. Stream's service is only used as an example of a third-party service you might want to integrate with. The core of the talk will be about how to create a VaporSwift backend for your app and your third-party service. We will cover the basics of setting up a VaporSwift project and after that integrating with a third-party service. Once that's done, some form of authentication and authorization will be added. Sounds neat, right? All the material is available at appforce1.net/idev. Link in the show notes too. 360 IDEF has been an enjoyable experience thus far. I still have the final day of the conference ahead of me when I record this, but I must say, it is awesome seeing so many familiar faces. The weird thing is, I'm seeing most of them for the very first time in real life. Special shout out to Josh, Azam, Michaela and Leo. It is great to finally be able to meet you for real. What I also noticed is how different conferences are. I've been to AppDevCon, Swift Heroes, Techorama BE and 360 IDEF this year thus far, and each had a totally different vibe. And each had its own strengths. Experiencing these conferences reaffirmed my resolve to push for another edition of the Duo iOS conference in November. I got the first offer letter from a venue and I'm awaiting a second to make sure I get a good deal on the whole thing. A fun thing to know about organizing an event, the room is a small line item compared to the catering. Once I have the venue booked, it is time to do some final number crunching and decide on the ticket price. It will probably be a lot lower than you might expect, which makes me super happy. Speaking of things making me happy, at 360 IDEF I experienced several cases of getting actual in-person feedback from people listening to my podcast. How they enjoy it and that it's a staple on their playlist. Such an amazing gift to receive. Anyways, let's dive into the first article of the week. Public service announcements. iOS 16 is a huge opportunity to promote your app. Not much to do or add to what Philip shares with us. The new iOS release is a period when both Apple and the press love to feature and cover all kinds of apps. And users are excited to try out new ones and have features that weren't possible before. So, if you have any ambition with your app, you should prioritize marketing and promotional activities around the upcoming iOS 16 release. You will get the most bang for your buck, so to speak. So better get started. And the next two articles by Majid and Natasha line up really well with what Philip just said. Lock screen widgets in SwiftUI and building widgets for iOS application with WidgetKit and SwiftUI. Both of them shared an article about WidgetKit. Majid goes deeper into lock screen widgets specifically, while Natasha talks about widgets in general. Starting with iOS 14, Apple introduced widgets that allows users to make pieces of the app's content available on the home screen. One of the most requested features for iOS was customizable lock screens, and with iOS 16, Apple will deliver on this. We can populate our lock screen with glanceable widgets. Implementing a lock screen widget is straightforward because the API shares the same code with home screen widgets. I think home screen widgets are cool. I use them every day, and lock screen widgets will only make widgets better. So let's get started programming them so they can be part of a marketing push related to the release of iOS 16, shall we? That's three articles down already. Next up, a beginner's guide to navigation split view in SwiftUI for iOS 16. In iOS 16, other than introducing the new navigation stack, Apple also released a new view container named Navigation Split View for developers to create two or three column navigation interfaces. If you want to build UI similar to the stock mail app, you should check this out as a split view component. While Navigation Split View is more suitable for iPadOS and macOS apps, you can still use them on apps for the iPhone. The view component automatically adapts itself for iPhone. Instead of displaying a multi-column interface, it creates a single-column experience. The new Navigation Split View comes with various options for you to customize its appearance and operations. You can also change the column's width and programmatically show and hide the columns. In his tutorial, Simon will create a three-column navigation UI using Navigation Split View. Article number 5 is by Adam Rush. I actually saw his presentation on this very topic at 360 IDEF. Custom metrics with MetricKit. MetricKit is a new framework to monitor app performance and battery usage within your application. It was released in 2019. One of the fantastic things you can do with MetricKit is track custom metrics using Apple's APIs so that you can consume this data and make better technical or engineering decisions based on the results. Let's get started by going over a real-life example. You are about to start working on a significant new feature in your app. You don't know how your users react, and it will touch some critical parts of your application's logic. You'd like to roll out this feature slowly, and you'd like to monitor the performance of this feature and how it will affect your app's performance. The question is, how are you going to achieve this? Well, it's possible with MetricKit. Sarun has a nice article answering the question of how to capitalize the first letter in Swift. Not only does he capitalize the first letter of each word in a string, he also shows us how to capitalize the first word of a sentence, all using built-in Swift features. Two more articles to go, and next up is Extension Kit and XPC. Matt Masicotti writes, Extension Kit makes extensive use of XPC. There are XPC connections all over the place. There's a per extension XPC interface, but there's also a per view XPC interface. This can make a lot of APIs to manage. It's all critical too, as this will make up the foundation of an Extension Kit system. So to be successful with Extension Kit, you have to work really closely with XPC. Let's take a look at how we can do that. This article is part 2 of a series of articles on the topic of Extension Kit. And we are already at the 8th and last article of this episode. Sharing cross-platform code in SwiftUI apps. The main appeal of building apps in SwiftUI is being able to share UI across platforms, in particular iOS and macOS. It is not perfect and you often have to do some if OS checks, but when it works, it is truly great. Before SwiftUI was around, you could already share a lot of non-UI code between iOS and macOS. Many of the system frameworks are available on both platforms, for example Foundation and Core Data. Occasionally there are API differences, but they rarely impose significant burden. The biggest issue when working on a cross-platform SwiftUI app is when you need to drop into AppKit on macOS and UIKit on iOS. Often the APIs you need, because they are absent from SwiftUI, are simply entirely different. However, sometimes the APIs are nearly identical, but just different enough to require branching into platform-specific code paths. In his article, Jesse Squires explains how you could approach writing a code base that shares as much code as reasonably possible between iOS and Mac. So, those were the articles for this week, and it seems my DJI mic has worked out well and I was able to record an episode. If you have any feedback, please send me a message through Twitter. My DMs are always open, and don't forget, you can buy me a coffee. Link for that in the show notes. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.